Yo, what's going on, Tony?
I love the new intro music.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's great. Can we talk over it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
What's about Tillman of Indie Hall Fame?
What's that?
Is this the We're Going to Talk Over Each Other show?
Yeah, you want to start over?
Yeah, you want to?
Yeah, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Alex Hellman?
How you doing?
I am doing wonderfully. I am hanging out, having a lazy Sunday, watching The Wire on a couch at Newark City with the lovely and talented Sarah Chips, and we just watched an amazing episode that blew my mind, and now I'm talking to you.
That sounds like a pretty good Sunday. I was re-inspired to try the theme music again, because I think I watched no less than 7 episodes of The Office in a row, right before this call.
Are you watching like recent stuff or old stuff?
No, I'm still, I didn't really get into The Office until I started working out like in August, and I was like filling up my iPod with shows. And I went all the way back to the beginning, and I've been watching in order. So I'm like midway through season 3.
Oh, wow.
Roy just went to deck Jim and Dwight pepper sprayed him. That's where I'm at.
Oh yeah, that was a great episode. We're at the bar, right?
What's that?
At the bar. They were at the bar.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have Roy flipped out at the bar, but then they had the altercation in the office.
Yeah,
yeah,
I remember that.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. So yeah, you get a nice wind down weekend, ready to hit the ground running for the week, so what it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Life has gotten so much. I've started to actually. I forget if I mentioned this last week, but this past week was the first week where I actually felt like I was starting to relax a little bit. Just being a month out after having opened the space,
yeah,
I'm just starting to stabilize, and I'm just finally after probably 5 or 6 months, I'm finally able to actually take a breather and relax a little bit. And it's,
sit back and admire yours and everybody else's hard work.
Yeah, something like
that's important,
yeah.
Man. That's important.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to sit in the space and watch a movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I've been seeing your tweets about watching, people watching or just activity watching on the corner. I'm super jealous of the corner that you have. Not that our corner of 3rd and Church isn't sweet, but Canal and Broadway is a completely different corner than that. So I'm looking forward to being able to spend some time up there with you and do my own fair share. Speaking of, it looks like I'm actually going to be up in New York for like a week and a half maybe. I'm going to come up on Friday night, it looks like, for some event that Jesse Middleton was telling me about.
Okay.
That sounded pretty cool. And then on Monday, Steven Johnson, who we talked about in the first call that we did, is doing this thing at the New York Public Library. I don't know what you're doing on Monday night, 1 week from tomorrow, that is, but I have an extra ticket if you're interested.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting.
So we've got that, and we can talk about whether or not you can make it. But then I have friends in from Australia. I think you met Lachlan and Lisa at South by Southwest, possibly.
Oh, I remember Lachlan, yeah.
Yeah, right? So Lachlan and Lisa are coming up for some web design development conference in Brooklyn. Is it Brooklyn Beta, I think?
That's funny. I live in Brooklyn. And
yeah. Well, this event like sold out crazy fast, and I'm going to try and sneak in. But that's the following weekend. So I figured rather than like come up and go back and come up and go back, I'm just gonna hang out in New York for a week and a half because I don't think I've ever really done that. In less than a week from today, I think you'll be seeing quite a bit of me.
Holy smokes. Does that mean we're going to be able to do an episode where we don't have to actually call in?
I don't know how to record it then.
We got all kinds of ways to record it. Come on.
That would be cool. Maybe, that would be very cool. Yeah, man, that's what it's looking like it might be.
Excellent. That's really exciting, dude. I was just thinking how little we've actually seen each other the last few months. So
it's true. Well, I'm gonna come up and I'm gonna spend. It'll probably be at least a week, maybe a little more. Who knows?
Excellent. Excellent.
So let's get into some talking about some stuff besides what we're gonna do in the next week.
If you insist.
If I insist. Well, actually, before we do that. I'm pretty sure I direct messaged you. We're on iTunes now, for real. So
yeah.
You can subscribe and leave reviews and ratings. Tell us how awesome we are and how much we suck. I also noticed that you added discuss comments, and we started getting some discussion. So I would encourage people that are listening to hit the comments on the coworkers.com webpage. Ask us questions. Tony and I will try not to step on each other's toes in responses, but maybe get one of us, maybe get both of us, and maybe whatever you ask might make it onto the show. And actually, one person in the Ask Us Anything page asked already if we could turn this into a web TV show. As per The Office. So I think people are wanting something sort of entertainment-driven video. Which actually brings me to the first thing I want to talk about. I was sitting in, or maybe I was walking into the Indy Hall lounge, and Parker, our office manager, was sitting with one I remember, Zach, and they were just in one of these banter moments. Quite honestly, I don't even remember what they were talking about, but it sounded like something that was the degree of ridiculousness when it comes to banter between characters on The Office. And it was one of those things where I walked in, I listened to them, and they realized listening in, and I was like, I'm sorry, there's not a camera here to record it, so I just have to stand here and take this in and enjoy it.
I'm sorry, continue.
No, go ahead.
I've heard, I've discussed in many conversations with people over the years, how fun it would be to have either a reality show or a sitcom, an internet TV show, that takes place in a co-working space. I've heard.
You don't need writers. It would just happen. It would be amazing.
It just writes itself. It really does. It really does.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Like I said, over the last couple of weeks, me being back in the office has been. I feel like I've been laughing a lot, which I don't know that I. That means that I was working too hard recently, but I know that I realize how important that part of my work day is. I go in and I laugh, and I'm so glad that I go into a place where I laugh as part of my work day. I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually it's something that you can't value enough. We did so for our Kickstarter campaign. We had one of the prizes was if you pledged a certain amount that you would be able to be mayor for a day. And mayor for a day meant you could come into the space, you could work for free for the day. You would be able to set the soundtrack. You could pick out, you know, whatever Pandora station you wanted or whatever music selection you liked, and that we would treat you to lunch. And so our first contributor came to us this week and said that he would like to redeem his mayor for a day on Friday, and that for lunch he would like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. which I really appreciated, because after the fact I realized how much trouble I was setting myself up for by offering free lunch to all the people.
Yeah,
because we ended up getting a lot of people contributing at that level, so we could end up having mayor for a days for like years. So I was happy.
Maybe you need to do another fundraiser just to support your mayor for a day.
It's true. Well, especially if I keep going overboard like I did for the PB&J, because I decided it just so happened that earlier that day my roommates, Jason and Anna, were talking about the fact that they had to make more use of the panini grill that they had left in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And so I put one and one together and decided to go completely overboard and bought a whole bunch of bread, three different kinds of peanut butter, three different kinds of gourmet jellies and bananas and honey.
Holy
and got out the panini maker, and I treated all of New York City to a grilled PBJ feast.
Yeah, that's not PB&J, that's PB and awesome. That's fantastic.
And the reason I bring this up is not simply to make everyone jealous of a fabulous peanut butter and jelly.
Although you've done a good job.
Thank you. But because we, for the first time in a long time, you know, New York City's been in this sort of lockdown mode for the last, like, 5 months when we were sort of in transition, moving out of the old space into temporary space and, you know, it, with green spaces. And so we haven't really been able to kick back and have fun in the way that we used to for a long time until around now. Even after we opened for the first month or so, it's really been, you know, just making sure everything's working right. And so
right.
We actually had lunch together as a space, as a community, and it was crazy because we have so many new members, and it's unbelievable how people will leave their laptops and just in walking over to the kitchen, and they had to sort of wait online to get to the food and make their sandwiches. Almost instantly, every single person was talking to each other, and people were meeting each other. They were getting to know each other. There were people who were brand new members who had just walked in that day, who were talking to, you know, members who were here for years. And the effect, it really is hard to describe without seeing it in person, but it's like a light, just like, it's like a light switch just got flipped when people
yeah.
got away from their screens and started talking to each other.
And
most of so many other people were saying that we had to do it more often and make it a regular thing. And,
so we had something similar happen when we were in our, I guess, we opened we grew into our new space in May of 2009, and it was like halfway through the summer already before we sort of hit a point where things had sort of smoothed down, and it wasn't like every free minute there was something to do, or that had to be done, rather. And so we realized that we had not been doing as good of a job with sort of the ushering in new members and making sure people were meeting each other. And that one of the first things that we decided to do was a member lunch as often as we could. And once again, we've sort of fallen off the bandwagon. The summer kind of took the wind out of our sails, as it typically does. But that was a huge thing, because it was all the same thing, lots of new members, and without sort of a context where everybody steps away from their desk and everybody knows that this is the time to socialize, some people won't go out of their way. So it's been huge for us, and every time we feel like we're in a slump, lunch is the first thing we go back to, because it's easy and it works every single time.
Yeah, I agree. I try not to promise things that I've learned I can't really keep well. We used to try to do lunches every week or every other week for sort of and specifically aimed at new members to try to get them hooked into the community better. And it's really hard to maintain that stuff. I think it's something we'll be able to revisit at some point if we hire, you know, like a full-time office manager who can, you know, just do that kind of stuff around the clock. But
It's funny you say that, because we're in a spot where actually Parker and I sat down last week, and you know, Parker has been with us for, it'll be a year in like a week and a half, I think.
And tell the audience what Parker's role is.
Yeah. So Parker, what is Parker's role? Parker was one of a number of people who responded to a call to internship that we posted last summer, summer of 2009. Dana had been working as my assistant and sort of as our office manager for a year and change. And when I hired her, her job was very undefined. Her job was to remove responsibilities from me, because I had been managing so much of the day-to-day. And we realized that, A, I needed to be doing other things, but also, B, we needed to make sure that the infrastructure that runs Indy Hall was not 100% dependent on me. That was not going to be a sustainable growth pattern for the business or for the community. And so Dana worked really hard with me to sort of identify everything that I did and what didn't need to be me doing it, and found ways to take it away from me. And after a year, she built up enough side work for herself where it turned into primary work. And long story short, she said she needed help. So we brought on interns. We brought on Parker and Michelle. And Parker ended up sticking around for the long haul in some pretty interesting ways. Parker came on, much like Dana, to take on day-to-day responsibilities things like answering the phone, giving new member tours, taking attendance, doing invoicing, typical administrivia sort of stuff. But he got Indy Hall in a way that many people don't that quickly. Like, he really got why we were there, and he got a really strong sense for when people needed a little more explanation about the whys, not just the hows and the wheres.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier this year, when I got pretty busy with the contract that I was involved with, and was spending less and less time at Indy Hall, Parker was a large reason that I was able to do that in the first place, because I felt confident in his ability to not just deal with, you know, daily tasks, but really hold down the fort in terms of culture. And I would say Parker has done a great job of not just maintaining, but finding ways to continue to evolve culture, embrace the members, encourage members to contribute their own bits to the culture. He's really been our glue for the last 9 months or so, and I'm immensely appreciative. And along the way, he partnered up with one of our members, and they built a video game, or an iPhone game, called Brainerang, where you kill zombies with boomerangs, clearly.
Yes.
And it's super fun, and you should go check it out. It's 99 cents and worth every penny. But it's crazy because Parker came to Indy Hall with like a psych degree, and he was driven. There was no doubt in my mind, but he was all over the place. He didn't know what he wanted to do, and he had done everything from construction work to cell phone sales to artwork that he wanted to put on T-shirts but didn't know how. And when I said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Oh, I've got some things I want to do," and they were all creative. I said, "Well, look, your job for the next however long you're here is twofold. One is you're here to figure out what you do next. And two is you figure out, you have some things you have to do for us while you're doing that. We'll help you along the way." So Parker's done a great job of doing both of those things. Now he's at the point where he needs some help, and we're going back to the drawing board to bring on some help from him. But as we do that, we say we may as well take a look at the position and evolve it. And it looks like what's going to happen is we may Parker really, he doesn't want to leave Indy Hall. He doesn't necessarily want to go straight to just being a member. He still wants to be involved, just not in the attendance-taking, invoicing sort of thing. So we're looking at ways to sort of split up the roles, the sort of space management roles, into sort of this cultural events, gardening, sort of like the softer side of the business, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of paying attention to members that maybe need a little more attention, or maybe, you know, we see those group of people that aren't necessarily integrating as well as we want to, and say, okay, what can we do a broader picture to make that better? And he's just full of great ideas. The last idea that him and a couple of our members came up with was sort of an achievements board. You know, how like when you were in grade school and they had the, you know, the gold stars next to things that you were supposed to do, like, you know, cleaned out your desk and, you know, sharpened the pencils and did your homework on time 5 days in a row. And so we have a list of Indy Hall achievements. Some of them are serious, like making coffee. And others are more humorous, like seeing Jason Allen's bare feet. All achievable things if you spend any amount of time in Indy Hall. But we think things like that, as silly as they are, provide a way for people to get involved with a little bit of guidance, level up quite literally, because we can give them stickers and badges and stuff like that, turn it into a game. But also we do it out in public. We'll turn this, one of our whiteboards, into sort of the achievement board. And so when people come in, they're going to see this activity, and I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit of confusion and discussion around it. But these are all the sorts of things that I hope Parker's new role will let him do.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then I guess over time you'll be able to increasingly, well, I guess you can sort of reevaluate as you go, right, and determine what roles you need at any given time that could either be one person or could be split among multiple people.
And potentially even like sort of officer levels that members could step up into for periods of time.
Yeah.
You know, we could do things like, you know, If group meals end up being something that I know, and it sounds like you've had the same experience, are consistently positive, but they're hard to maintain, we could have like a group meals leader where somebody that likes to cook or likes to organize meals for 3 months. That's their thing. They help organize events where we all go out to eat, or we bring food in and cook and eat together at the space. So we're constantly looking, more so now as we continue to grow and our leadership. It's always meant to be flexible, and I think you said it before. You know, we can constantly evaluate and reevaluate, and it was cool that Parker came to me sort of knowing that this needed to evolve and sort of set it up to prep it in a particular direction for evolution, and I'm just here to sort of help guide it and make sure that it can happen, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
So there was one other thing that I wanted to see. Did you on the co-working Google group, that dude from where is Cadu from? He is from Rio de Janeiro. Did you see that Small Act manifesto?
You know what? I saw that he messaged it, and I saw your response, mostly because just the name of it. It's funny, I saw the name of it, and I had two thoughts immediately today, which were, this looks awesome, and I'll bet Alex responded to it immediately and loved it. And I hadn't seen much of that. But I didn't get to see what it is. Tell us what it is.
So it's super simple, and sort of the main idea is that foundation of small acts can be transformative in people's lives to the end of really developing community. We talk about developing community quite a bit, and it's very hippy-dippy, kind of up in the air. It's not very concrete what building community really means, and I think these guys did a hell of a job laying out what the elements of community development are, and a lot of them echo the things that we do. So they sort of list out a set of values, kind of like we did on the coworking.com. And in fact, they use similar color schemes, although somehow their webpage looks nicer. And so this list of things that they value, it's 10 or so things. Some of them should sound familiar. Trust, which is to be respected and never put at risk. Dialogue is the way to establish a truly trustful relationship. Personal contact, the richest experience not matched by any media or technology. Transparency, the means to maintain a sustainable community. Diversity, people have many interests, but if you need a label, label yourself as human. I love that one. Self-organization, leaders emerge and there should be no owners. Example, that's how you must teach, live, and learn. Consistency, things take time. Intensity is not always the answer. I think you and I could both swallow a little more of that pill. Give, give, give. You'll be impressed how fast things will come back. And do it! Exclamation point. As simple as you can, just what is essential to pass it forward. And then they've got a list of names of people that have – a big list of names, a remarkable list of names of people that have sort of pledged to embody this. And I just thought the way they put it together was great. It's the things that they're saying here are so – I don't know. It felt like every single one of the things they said was meaningful. No one thing was more important than another. Smallactmanifesto.org. I hope to see that starting to circulate a little bit more.
Wow. I think there's no better way to end off the show before our last segment, because we are at 25 minutes.
Holy moly, we are at 25 minutes. So,
holy moly, how about that, huh?
These half hours, they go quickly. So I guess it's my turn to ask you a question, isn't it?
It sure is. And I was trying to decide today, just to buy you a little bit of time in case you need it, whether or not I preferred asking the question or answering the question. And I think I decided that I preferred answering because it required less preparation and intent.
Well, that's like I always prefer Q&A to a prepared presentation for the exact same reason.
Yep, agreed.
I don't mind being grilled. All right, so the question is, You said at the beginning of our call that you're starting to things are starting to wind down a little bit. You're starting to sort of not necessarily kick back, but relax a little bit more. Not necessarily push forward full force. You know, take it all in a little bit. What is the one thing that you've been wanting to do while all the chaos was going on, but the chaos just kind of kept in your way, that you're going to promise to me and everybody else listening you're actually going to do now that things are starting to calm down?
All right. I know the answer. It is two words. Make money.
Hey, man. Good answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how much more I need to say, but really the, okay, so I'll say a little bit. As some of you might know, I parted ways with my job in August. My job of 5 years, my only job outside of college, the job that took me virtual and first inspired me to head in the direction of co-working. And basically since then, I've been not working for money. For anything. I've been working full-time on New York City, which is not something that's really designed to pay me a salary. And the same has been true for Peter, who I've been working with pretty much full-time on this for quite some time. And so we knew that we were going to have to work on New York City without making any money for a while. But now that we're coming out of the woods, just starting, we're still not out of the woods. We still have to get some breaks. We still have some major financial milestones and some other things to hit. But we're just starting to eke out some time, some mental bandwidth to start thinking about other things. And the possibilities are really exciting. There's all kinds of stuff around the corner, things we could work on, things that complement and augment the existing community infrastructure here. And so that is what I am going to increasingly be turning my attention to so that I can pay my rent, put food on my plate, and finally buy that plane ticket I promised Jacob and Susan that I would buy to go see them in Seattle.
Nice. I think that's awesome and admirable, and I'm very excited to see as things get to play out what ways you're able to start putting some cash in your own bank.
Yeah, totally.
Are you primarily focusing on co-working related stuff, or are you looking broader than that, or are you not ready to say?
Well, there are a lot of different options on the table. Some are more directly related to co-working than others, but you know, to sort of revise, to sort of clarify, you know, what I want to do now is find ways to increase my, you know, my impact on what I do beyond the scale of the walls of New York City in a way that is financially sustainable to me. And, you know, I'm in the process of sort of identifying the possible avenues and deciding which one or which ones to focus on when.
I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to be talking a lot more about this, and I'm sure that there's lots of other people out there that are also running spaces that they absolutely love but aren't necessarily being paid by. So hopefully they can learn along with us.
Yeah, well, and not to tip my hand for something that I haven't really put together at all yet anyway, maybe those things overlap in some interesting ways down the road.
Indeedy. All right, man. Well, I think we're at about that 30-minute mark.
Yeah,
so, what?
We have 3 seconds left, I believe.
30 seconds left. Well,
no, I said three. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay. Well, cool. I'll drop you a line in the middle of the week as I sort of firm up my plans for the weekend. Are you around? Is there anything going on this weekend?
This weekend. This Friday we're having a party. So whenever you're done with whatever you're doing, come over.
All right. I'll see you Friday night.
All right. And to all the listeners, we are one of our members, Homing Cloud, is launching their startup, and we're having a launch party for them on Friday. And they are awesome. They match home sellers to home buyers, cutting out the brokers. That is my little plug. I will not do plugs often, but they're really cool. And so that's the party for Friday. And Anyone in the area is welcome to join us.
Sweet. What was it? What are they called again?
It's called Homing Cloud.
Homing Cloud.
.com. Yep.
.com. Cool. I'll add that to the show notes. Cool, man. All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you Friday.
All right. Sounds good. I'm going to go back to the wire. I'll see you Friday.
Enjoy. Take it easy, man.
All right. Bye.